Welcome, everyone, to the AI in Business podcast. I'm Matthew DeMello, Senior Editor here at Emerge Technology Research. Today's guests on the program are Carl Hirsch, Vice Chairman and Leader of Deloitte's U.S. Insurance Practice, and Sandy Suhrada, Partner at Monitor Deloitte, leading AI for insurance. They join Emerge CEO and Head of Research Daniel Fajella on today's podcast to discuss the opportunity space in insurance, highlighting the integration of automation and potential value for business creation. Throughout the episode, the pair underscore incoming changes to underwriting and customer engagement workflows, focusing on performance, productivity, and efficiency plays over the next 3 years. Today's episode is sponsored by Deloitte, and without further ado, here's their conversation.
So, Sandy, Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey.
Doing well. Glad to have you both here. We're going to be going pretty deep in the topic of insurance, where both of you more or less live. I wanted to open us up with just maybe a summary of what executives should know about the opportunity space in insurance. Sandy, I'll pass this one your way just to kind of open up the dialogue. What do you think leaders should know about where the upside is for this big tech wave?
So, Dan, first of all, I thank you for having us, and an absolute pleasure to be here. I really enjoy listening to your podcast, and I'm looking forward to our dialogue today. So now to answer your question around the opportunity within insurance, the insurance industry is experiencing a significant transformation with integration of artificial intelligence. And for past year, Gen AI is redefining and accelerating the trajectory of this transformation. So as we think about it, I will say insurers have remarkable opportunity to create substantial business value as long as their Gen AI journeys are aligned with their respective business strategies, whether the focus is on profitable growth, cost savings, or operational intelligence, all while elevating the experience, both for their internal customers that are employees and external customers, policyholders, advisors, agents, and brokers. In terms of specific opportunity areas, the three noteworthy trends that we are seeing. The first one is around the expansion of underwriting and claims assistance. It's the co-pilots, the virtual assistants, which are helping with the productivity gains, thus creating capacity for a higher value work, ultimately improving service experience. Basically, it's the performance play. On the claim side, it's not just the speed to service, but also the improved effectiveness with the fraud detection and management. The second aspect is around the personalization of sales and services. This is also a co-pilot place with personalized sales, billing, and operational support, improving overall customer experience, right, across the insurance value chains. I know you have covered this topic on your podcast before, so I'm going to kind of not try to go deeper into this. The third one is around transformation of in-house technology function and operations functions, which includes examples like analysis of existing code bases, understanding underlying logic, generating code scripts, helping accelerate development of technical applications. One thing you might have noticed, I intentionally didn't call out the autonomous coding or testing aspect. The reason being, as we talk about these opportunities across all three, there is a consistent theme that is at play here. It's currently internally focused use cases with human in the loop being the essential ingredient as part of design and delivery. What that means is that for all immediate opportunities that are being considered today in this space, our actors are our own employees, whether they are underwriters, claims representatives, service operations folks, they are using it, testing it, verifying it, and ultimately are still accountable for making the final decisions. So humans are still owning the decisions that matter, and Gen AI solutions are acting as the enabler.
Big time. There's so many areas to kind of pop into here across what you've splayed. We have spoken about kind of claims and underwriting, but there's a lot of excitement there. Let me just ask a couple quick questions before we get into the why and what's making this opportunity particularly relevant for insurance leaders right now. On the underwriting side, there's certainly kind of an efficiency play, and there has been even before the Gen AI wave of, hey, can we just get this done faster? Also, can we say no to more of the stuff we should say no to up front, or set our terms at the right risk level the way we should up front? There's also a play of getting to those thin file folks where it actually becomes kind of a revenue game, where if we can underwrite, if we can have more certainty with more types of data to say yes to somebody when before it's like, well, they don't have a FICO score, and we've interviewed FICO C-level folks on the program here. Well, they don't have a FICO score. We can't really touch them. It feels like there is also that upside to underwriting. We haven't seen many insurance leaders be there mentally, but it does feel like that's part of the future. Where do you see kind of the ROI in the coming years when it comes to that underwriting thing, just to dip into it?
So it's actually a very good question. Like, in terms of the maturity of using this technology for business growth, we are not there yet, right? I think like most, what I see is in like over the next year or 2-3 years, the play is your performance play, the productivity play, the efficiency play. I will tell you, like, we have been spending a lot of time with the insurance executive teams and the board. The one question they keep on asking themselves, which is a very important question, is like, what do we want to be as we grow up, as we play in this space, right? The very simple way I try to help them structure their thoughts is around, if you see a horizontal scale, the extreme left is the active observer. The extreme right is the emerging pioneer. Middle is the cautious adopter. And if you see 85 to 90% of the insurers are either in the middle and they're kind of moving slowly towards the right, right? Because there is an acknowledgement across the industry is no action is not a choice here. But because we have known unknowns around explainability, fairness, and transparency, they are still trying to just experiment and explore, so not kind of make big bets, to your point.
Yeah. We are pretty frank about it. The enterprise plays defense with this technology for the most part right now. You know, it's if there's a compliance issue, we have to change because of compliance. Okay, now somebody will spend some money. But the actual upside is really more for the scale-ups than it is for the enterprise. Although I do think it will get there. To your point, it's going to involve maturity. I like that you also brought up the in-house tech side of being able to use AI with regards to writing code or helping to aid in sort of product development. Not a lot of that is talked about in insurance, but I think like any industry, that's going to be a big space where this opens up. And this gets us a little bit into the why. So Carl, I'll pass the mic to you here as we go back and forth. One of the whys that this is on the lips of so many folks in insurance, we just had an Allstate innovation leader talking about Gen AI. Everybody's kind of thinking about it. One of the things is, well, the tech wave is here. And as it turns out, it's actually quite capable. It's not blockchain monkey JPEGs on Twitter where it's just buzzwords. It seems to really be able to do a lot of very powerful things. So that's kind of an obvious why. What else is making this a topic that the C-suite wants to discuss? Obviously, you guys are seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of that. Why do you think this is as hot as it is at present?
Yeah, Dan, I think it's actually a really exciting time. If you go back a few years now, you know, the beginning of COVID, right? Everybody was thrust into this digital first engagement model. And that was a big jump for insurance companies for sure. And they actually proved they could do it. And, you know, I've talked to folks as heads of distribution. They're like, you know, I'm not sure I would have made that move, but I'm certainly not going back. So the expectation setting, you know, for customers has shifted, meaning we as consumers of insurance, our bar that we accept as the minimum is actually now higher than it used to be. So there's a customer expectation that is now increased. And when you think about what insurers are all struggling to do, they want to grow profitably, obviously. And that kind of goes to the point you were making, and Sandy was, around, you know, finding smarter places to underwrite and kind of drive profit. Obviously, if you can reduce costs, that's good. But there's also a defensibility of the existing customer base. So how do you defend the customers you have in place? So, you know, leveraging the technology to find easier ways to engage with consumers, and I'm talking maybe more personalized in this discussion at the moment. We can bring it to commercial later, but finding ways to touch them and engage them where they want to be met, being smarter in how they're reached out to, making the ease of that execution of an insurance transaction better. If you think about the perfect insurance transaction for a person. You go through whatever underwriting process, whether it's life policy, health, home, auto, and it can be clumsy and hard at times, right? And it and oftentimes confusing. The perfect scenario is the customer never actually has to talk to the insurer again until they get their re-up of the bill next year. That's perfection, means nothing bad happened, right? Yep. So how do insurance companies engage with consumers and customers on a regular basis and create a means of engagement? And using Gen AI to make the processes at the front end easier, make the service and claims administration and experience better at the back end, but also find smart ways to engage during that interim period, I think is a really big opportunity set. And I think there's lots of ways that customers can get smarter, but insurance companies can get smarter as well.
Yeah, so I think, well, probably not every, well, not every, certainly not every industry operates like that, where in an ideal world, we just don't talk. And there's something nice about that on some level, but there is also something challenging about how do I know if maybe they bought a motorcycle and they need to insure that? Or how do I know if they have some other need that maybe we could help with? Or how do we build a level of affinity so they don't just want to swap to somebody who has a $5 a month cheaper rate or whatever the case may be? Do you see this as kind of, is this a loyalty kind of anxiety game here? Kind of like being mindful of market share and position jockeying there? Like what's driving that underlying impetus in the C-suite for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about the way, you know, and you said it earlier, this is real technology. Like it's really here and it's usable.
Yeah.
You could argue pretty easily, I think, that switching costs are getting much easier for consumers and buyers, right? So you think of it, let's take Gen AI from how we might use it as individuals, our ability to go out and do research and assess insurance companies, assess their service levels, assess their pricing, and come up with our own conclusions before we even engage with an insurer is suddenly becoming a whole lot easier because the Gen AI tools that are available and open to us publicly. And you say, well, then how do the insurers kind of use that back in the other direction? One of the concepts that I think is really interesting we're talking about and are doing is this concept of a neuro avatar. And it is basically customizable avatars that are talking to you or to me or to Sandy or any other person in a way that we want to be engaged. So meaning you modify language, you modify dialect, you can actually modify the appearance of the way the avatar engages with you online, meaning they're dressed differently. So something that appeals to your senses or appeals to my senses, and it, just like in human interaction, it works better. We use a concept inside the firm called business chemistry, which is a means to diagnose and assess what are our personal preferences, what are our clients' preferences, and we explain it to our clients and they can use it to diagnose. And you say, well, what's the best way to engage? You can actually start to think about how you teach the avatars to look at that as well. And you know, as the technology evolves, because it's not like the avatar today is going to process something real time with a highly customizable answer. However, that's going to get there. But if you think about that highly customized, not just content experience, but the look and feel of it and the engagement, that's kind of game changing. So you can see where you get the consumers are now empowered to be smarter going forward, and the insurers are actually bringing a higher service level. And it's a really interesting culmination of technology that's coming to change the way I think the engagement model could shift.
Man, well, there's a whole nother episode that we could be recording here, you two, with, you know, the 10-year future of insurance. You know, how far away are we from me being able to say to whatever my, you know, AI assistant is, what's the lowest price insurance for this specific thing that I'm paying for? Or just have it running in the background where it's constantly assessing every subscription cost that I have across the board and figuring out who offers it for slightly less and is able to communicate personal information that I've approved that it can communicate in order to send a request for a service or what have you. So being able to have agents that can play in that kind of game, I do think it's important to get people to think about the future, and that's definitely part of it. Getting started on this journey is going to involve sort of thinking about what success requires. I know we wanted to get a little bit into the how. I'm going to do a bit of that here. And, you know, Sandy, you've identified some of the places where there is much value to be wrought, and you and I have both been pretty frank about where mostly insurance leaders are focused today, but clearly that possibility space is much broader as we move forward, as Carl had just identified too. As they get started on that journey and they're thinking about, you know, what are going to be these factors that help me in terms of long-term success? We've seen so many little flim-flam AI pilot projects go die in a little corner somewhere. Somebody spins up an AWS instance, and it was never an effort that really had much of a long-term promise. What are those things that do give an AI start a long-term promise?
I'll tell you, like, from my vantage point, insurers have been dabbling with AI and kind of building AI solutions for more than a decade and a half now, right? Right. But as they kind of think about these transformative journeys to become AI-fueled enterprises, I would distill all my experiences into the two key points. First and foremost is around defining the right opportunity. And along with that, how you measure it and measure the success. The reason being, AI is an expensive proposition. So unless or until you can actually show the ROI, the return on investment, it doesn't, you can't sustain that journey, right? So the opportunity definition has to be comprehensive. It should not only include what you are trying to accomplish, but the associated business value, the impact, and the implication. Where it kind of sometimes makes me anxious is around when we talk about the use cases, conversation stops at the problem statement. You have to define the why, who will be impacted, the actor, and how the business operations will change. Defining all these elements upfront actually helps you make the right decision in terms of where you want to make your investment. So let me take an example, right? We are building an underwriting assistant for specialty markets. Why are we making it? We hire 30 new underwriters, and if we can augment their capacity with a co-pilot or an assistant who can snip through the thousands of policy docs and then respond to the queries quickly, reduces the onboarding time. So I see the value there, right? Who I need to build with? I need to bring my business, tech, risk, legal, all at the same table. And when I think about the how, it's bringing that underwriter as part of the product development lifecycle. Helping them, taking their inputs to re-engineer how they will work when this assistant is there to support, right? And you don't stop there. You actually, along with all this, you define how would you measure success in terms of performance, productivity, experience metrics. Because the mantra everybody has to follow here is, if you can't measure it, at least that's mine. If you can't measure it, you can claim it. Right? So you need the discipline and the rigor. The second piece, which has been very, very important in this, is around, it's not a tech play. We talk about technology, right? Like they come and go. But at least in Gen AI, it's not only impact that technical enablement, but it can actually, because it has that UX component, right? Like it has the context, it can help you reimagine how we build, run, and operate our business. And so it is a team play, and it's an ecosystem play with the external partners. I'll touch upon the external partner ecosystem lens, and then Carl, I'll invite you to talk about the team play a little bit here. But for the ecosystem, I'll say that's a very critical component too. We are living in the era of ecosystems, and to be successful on your Gen AI journey, you have to bring on the right partners. At least for now, in our buy versus build paradigm, most of the insurers are buying, given the maturity of the landscape, right? Like the amount of skills you need to build something. So, and I think you have talked about this on your other podcast too. As they're looking for the solutions, the reason I wanted to touch upon that is we want to be very holistic around our outlook. We at Deloitte, like, we see three archetypes of patterns and relationships that insurers can explore. The first one is engaging with hyperscalers or leveraging our open source model. Almost everyone is doing that, right? The other lens insurers should consider, if they are not already doing that, is around their current existing enterprise solution vendor partnership. Most of the enterprise solution providers, at least in insurance, they're all investing in creating the Gen AI-enabled features. So why wouldn't you leverage your existing partnership and synchronize your roadmaps with them to see what features you need, what will help you, and then work with them to enable those features, right? That's the second archetype. And the third one is the ever-evolving startup ecosystem, which has been fascinating with the pace it's growing. So a huge opportunity for partnership there. And to your point, this can be the next whole episode around that, right?
Yeah.
As we talk with our clients, this ecosystem play, I would say, is the must-have to maintain the agility and velocity that insurers require to stay ahead of the curve a little bit.
Yeah, and it sounds like for you, there's also this, and I know we're going to toggle over to Carl in a moment. It sounds like there's sort of the sort of agility to know where on the ecosystem you want to kind of pull on. To your point, sometimes you have an existing sort of technology, maybe consulting partner of some kind, and the goal should really be sort of syncing, building, getting aid for some of your internal solutions. Sometimes it's pulling in the outside startups. What's going to build that skill of being able to nimbly operate with those different parts? You know, it feels like it's a bit of a bungled process in the enterprise today, in part because enterprise leadership is still new to AI, knowing which things we can do in-house, which things are external, which things are even possible versus impossible. These things aren't always well known in the C-suite. What's going to help build that agility to work within the ecosystem in the way that you just articulated?
So I think that's where the team play comes into play. One is kind of at one pattern we are seeing across most of the insurers is it's kind of going top-down discussion. The boards, the executive teams are involved and getting the right stakeholders so the decisions can be very informed. Plus, they can be dynamic too. They can be nimble, right? Like if you have to change the decision, you should be able to pivot. So you need the right information points. The second thing I will say most of the insurers are investing in, or at least we are guiding them, is like have a sensing organization or have your advisor partners. Like Carl and I have been playing that role for a lot of our insurers too. It's like look at what's there in the market and what opportunity you are trying to solve. Let's bring the right partner set to help you with that opportunity, right? Because you don't need to spend all the time building it and taking the market is changing so quickly, Dan. Like I think in reality, to meet that pace, and especially when we are in experimentation or exploration phase, right? Like I think having that partnership play is extremely important.
Yeah, I couldn't concur more. It'll be interesting to see how this capability develops. The level of nimbleness that you're articulating now, I hope, is something that kind of sinks into the heart of the enterprise, whatever industry they're in, because being able to pick those right combinations is crucial. And it sounds like maybe there's more to dive into on the team side with Carl. I'd love to have you jump in here, Carl, on maybe where you want to chip in for helping enterprises see that long-term success and kind of start off on the right foot.
Yeah, I think it builds a little bit, Dan, from Sandy's comments. I mean, the reality is this is a moment where I think, you know, organizations and the people inside them need to embrace the change. This is coming, you know, and it's, you know, the technology's real, it's going to happen. And I think, you know, there's a period of fear and that kind of leads to some potentially work disruption, but a lot of opportunity, right? So when technology advancements have come historically, it does create worry because there's change, and change creates just anxiety by its very human nature to it. But when you think about the downstream opportunity, you know, work is going to change. The skills needed are going to change. There's an opportunity to upskill. There's an opportunity to fundamentally change the workflows of the personas that we've been talking about, whether they be underwriters, claims professionals, or finance managers, folks in human resources, folks in legal. Like foundationally, that's going to change. On the outside, you're talking about the shifts for agents and distributors, financial advisors, right? And while that all moves, the opportunity set's great. But I think there's got to be a tone from the top to say, look, this is happening. We're going to embrace it. It's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable at times, but the outcome at the end of the day is going to yield something better. And it kind of goes back to one of my opening comments on the why. You know, there's a drive towards growth, a drive towards profitability, a drive towards not just defending your respective market share, but increasing it. And this is going to be one of those things that is going to have to be done to accomplish that.
Yeah, it's tough to see a reality where it won't. Specifically on the team side and getting a multidisciplinary team together, I mean, we've got the phrase that AI is a team sport, I think is an apt way to put it. This notion of getting executives who have a mandate with subject matter expertise who who know their workflows, with data scientists who can level up those workflows, making those kind of pods work together productively here at Emerge seems to be what starts to distribute the skills around AI. All this stuff is new and experimental until we have a couple key pockets of people that maybe make some progress and they interweave well together and they start to learn how to unlock the value of data. It becomes a little bit more normal. Anything for making those interdisciplinary teams work together better that you think enterprise leaders should know more about? Because I imagine you've seen both very good and very bad examples of that.
Yeah, we've seen it long before Gen AI or AI has come into play, right? I mean, you're actually highlighting what has been what I think Sandy would agree, one of the critical success or unsuccess factors we see in any large transformation. And that is it's an alignment and a teaming and a bringing together of the business and functional domain expertise with the technology or other enabling domain expertise. And that is where we see things work at their best all the time, or if it's detached or disassociated, we see a lot of stumbling blocks and often failures. And it's because the communication's not happening, and it does require every element of teaming here. The reality is the technology we're talking about here is fantastic, but everything we've talked about today, even on this podcast, is all business-centric domain knowledge that you need to actually affect that change. So you can't, this is not a you can build it, they shall come type situation. It has to be done together. And I do think it's a lot of tone from the top to make that happen, you know, both from the most senior leadership of the company or the enterprise, but the heads of business and the heads of technology.
Well, I imagine there were analogies way earlier than AI. I've kind of seen it since we started recording these episodes 8 or 10 years ago, and have seen the same issues over and over, but it doesn't surprise me that maybe it's a part of a bigger reverberating idea of enterprises becoming more digitally nimble writ large. And many of the folks who are listening in are exactly the kind of people who hope to be that. They want to be nimble in terms of working within the ecosystem, as Sandy had mentioned. They want to be nimble working within teams, Carl, as you had just said. They want to get good at using their data and turn it into value. There's going to be a lot of defense performance plays, and then eventually there are going to be, you know, the ways we compete in the market and face the market are going to involve this technology in a very core sense. So fortunately, our audience is more eager than most to embrace that future. As we think about what they should know as they head off on their journey, any kind of parting advice for the executive crowd in insurance who's getting started in the ecosystem, getting started with teams and training, et cetera, any final words they should know? Whoever wants to take the microphone can, but would love to know if you guys have anything else here.
Sandy, would you like to go?
Yeah, certainly, Carl. Dan, the way we see it is like for our insurance executives, I would emphasize the importance of being agile, adaptable, nimble. We talked about this, right? We all know the space is rapidly evolving, and we all need to be prepared to iterate on our strategy and be ready to pivot. Right? We need to embrace this mindset of continuous learning and improvement. It's a self-feeding loop, how Gen AI is changing the way we work to making Gen AI part of how we work, right? So all this, and while we are doing all this, keeping the eye on the prize, which is the end goal of delivering value to our customers, right? So I think that will be my 2 cents.
Got it. Worth locking in for our listeners here. Carl, anything you want to put on as kind of our end cap? We've given people a lot to chew on. They're getting started on the journey. This is a crowd that is looking to embrace change and come out as a winner. What should they know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's a don't wait situation. Test and learn. Know the guardrails you got to play inside. You know, we didn't really talk too much about the compliance or reg side of things, but there are, you know, that's a very evolving landscape. And insurers right now need to be cognizant of it, that they have to self-govern, at least until the governance is out. But continue to push the envelope of innovation. I mean, Dan, it's something I've been talking about. You know, if you think about this sector we're discussing right now, insurance, it's a very misunderstood or not well understood business. It's often hides behind the veils of all the other businesses that we see and interact with on an everyday basis. And it sometimes doesn't get its due credit in actually what it does to kind of keep the world moving, keep society going, because everything that happens because there's an insurance policy sitting behind it in reality. So I think there's a real opportunity here to improve the attractiveness of the sector and to drive additional technology talent and business talent organizations as we're changing the fundamentals of how the business gets done. So I'm really excited for that opportunity. And I would just say, don't wait, test and learn and go experiment.
As an objective market research firm, I could say that that would be rather rational advice for the folks who are in the enterprise, and hopefully a lot of the team insights that we've brought to bear, I think, are going to be pretty universally applicable, no matter where people who are tuned in are on their sort of maturity journey. And I know that's all we have for time, guys, but Sandy, Carl, thank you both for being here. This has been a fun conversation.
Thanks for having us, Dan.
Thank you.
Before we draw a close to today's episode, a few points that are worth some further spotlight before we draw things to a close. Sandy began her episode highlighting the crucial role of humans in ensuring accountability and providing essential decision-making context in the use of AI within the insurance industry, despite the vast opportunities presented for the technology in today's episode and elsewhere. In the near future, that's the next 1 to 3 years, insurance leaders may not be fully prepared for the maturity of AI technology, but they are increasingly focused on enhancing performance, productivity, and efficiency. Carl pointed out that customer expectations have shifted with a higher standard for service quality and a desire for seamless interactions. Generative AI can be harnessed by insurance companies to enhance both front-end processes and back-end services, ultimately improving the overall customer experience. Carl also highlighted the effectiveness of neuroavatars in personalizing customer engagement and making interactions with customers more human-like. Sandy emphasized, in turn, the importance of ecosystem collaboration to maintain agility and velocity within the insurance industry, particularly through partnerships with hyperscalers, established enterprise solution vendors, and the ever-evolving startup ecosystem. Sandy also stressed the need for insurers to leverage their existing partnerships and align their roadmaps with vendors to enable features that keep them ahead of industry developments. To expedite the adoption of AI in insurance, multidisciplinary teams consisting of executives and data scientists working in tandem are essential for successful integration into existing workflows. On behalf of Daniel Fajella, our CEO and head of research, as well as the rest of the team here at Emerge Technology Research, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the AI in Business podcast.